Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The meaning of life. Who understands it? What is it? So those are questions people badly want answered. But nobody seems to know how to obtain them. And believe it or not, all of us are engaged in a search to find these answers. Take a look around. We live in a world that is desperately seeking to define human existence. We live in a culture that has serious questions about the value or worth of human life. We wonder, what does this all mean? The problem is, we just can't see beyond this life, what we see, as Solomon puts it, under the sun. As human beings, we are limited to what we experience or what we observe around us. And so in a time of anxiety, worry, depression, feelings of worthlessness, we might be led to ask, what's the meaning of all this? God allows these feelings to prepare us for His mighty word. And there we learn that, number one, this is a question asked in frustration. But He will not leave us alone in our query. And secondly, through His Spirit's enabling power, we learn that there is an answer given by grace. Solomon was looking for answers to the same questions you and I have. He would look around the world and ask, what's the meaning of all of this? The answer God led him to find was a bit unsettling, but true. As Solomon looked here and there over all the activities of life, he learned this truth. It's all vanity, meaningless, empty. This sounds rather discouraging. We might be tempted to think that Solomon was having one of those days. You know what I'm talking about. We've all had them. And yet, when we look closely at what he says, we see that he was quite accurate and truthful. Meaningless. The original meaning behind that word is simply the word breath, and the idea is very clear on a cold day when one exhales and sees their warm breath just evaporate. It vanishes away. That's an adequate picture of what it is to live life under the sun. Behind all of the hustle and bustle, the sparkle and shine lies an existence that is empty and fleeting. And this is so hard to accept because we want a piece of the eternal right now. Deep down inside all of us, there is a desire to obtain paradise. And so we grasp at thin air in the hopes of catching something that will last. And so off we run, searching for more. We shop, we purchase, we stockpile, we hoard things away. But why? Deep down, we're all trying to convince ourselves that our lives have meaning. Have you ever taken a look at your garage? You're not welcome to look at mine. I believe that the average American's garage is proof of Solomon's observation. Everything is meaningless. Now, there might be a few things in my garage that I'd like to keep around that are pretty important to me, like the lawnmower, which hasn't seen my lawn in a week or so, and needs to. Or the bicycle that's kind of been sitting there. I haven't gotten out too much too often. Well, there would be a car in there if I could fit it. But generally, these are meaningless things that are there. There's all the stuff that's cluttered in there, which when you look at it, you might ask, what's the meaning of all of this? And then we get frustrated because we have all these things, and really we don't know what to make of it all. What once was so important often turns into a meaningless memento that is now stashed in some cobweb corner of the garage. It's all an effort in futility. Solomon understood this frustration. By the end of his life, he had everything a man could possibly want. Power, peace within and without the nation, wives and concubines, and that's one we could debate a long time on. He had the finest chariots and horses. That was a joke, by the way. I forgot to chuckle, I'm sorry. But it was all meant to bring meaning to his life. It was, in his words, the highest degree of emptiness and meaninglessness. Vanity of vanities. It's like the superlative term, like when we talk about the Holy of Holies. It's the most holy place. And Solomon turns that phrase, vanity of vanities. It is the superlative of all emptiness, all meaninglessness. What's even more frustrating is the other point he makes. He says, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. What an injustice. We work so hard. We struggle, toil, and sweat for a lifetime only to go to the grave without any guarantee that what we leave behind will be even appreciated. When we look at life from this angle, much of it does seem meaningless and futile. And yes, that's frustrating. Solomon completes his point by describing the work-a-day life. He says, what does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at nighttime, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. Solomon's not trying to be a sourpuss, and he's certainly not a pessimist. He's being truthful with us. Pursuit for the meaning of life ends in stress. There's physical stress from all the overtime we put in at our jobs, to the chores all around the house that never seem to get finished. People deny themselves their precious gifts of rest. What's the meaning of all of it? Couple that with the mental stress that we endure and the fatigue that we often experience, anxiety, worry, depression, feelings of worthlessness, and is it any wonder that millions endure sleepless nights? Again, what is the meaning of all this? The real issue is that people are looking for spiritual rest and meaning. They're looking for spiritual answers in a physical world. Every evening, people spend those restless nights on the sofa or in their armchair, watching all kinds of programs, hoping to find some meaning and answers, whether it's through sports or reality shows or infomercials. And so Solomon looked under the sun. He looked everywhere. He sought wisdom where it could be found. He looked high. He looked low. He examined wisdom, foolishness, pleasure, and accomplishments, everything under the sun. And his conclusion, he found it all lacking. And so, life goes on in this cycle of frustration. So the real question for you and me to ask ourselves is, how do we go on living in this world of despair? God gives us some answers through Solomon's pen. In this life, he says, the best a person can do is to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. That seems like poor advice, because Solomon demonstrated how meaningless work and toil is. And yet Solomon adds the second, more crucial part of the answer. He says that this is only possible from the hand of God. What's the meaning of all this? God answers the question by revealing his grace. This is something seen in God's hand. As the psalmist says, the Lord opened his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. In the Bible, God's hand symbolizes almighty, unlimited power. And God uses that power to transform the meaninglessness into something meaningful. We're led to see that true enjoyment rests not in our own doing, but in God's hands. That applies to this life as well. Enjoyment in this life is a gift only God can grant us. You see, we're handcuffed by our own selfish ambitions. We are also shackled by our own sinful inability to meet those ambitions. We are unable to find enjoyment on our own because we are weak. We are corrupt. We are sinful. This inability to meet our own demands is what frustrates us. And the good news in all this is that God frees our hands from those shackles. He frees us by explaining the real meaning of life for us. And the key to true, meaningful, lasting life is found in Jesus Christ. This meaning of this life is found in his life alone. He gave up his life so that we might be free to enjoy our lives right now and forever. Christ himself said in the 10th chapter of John, I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullest. Our Lord has freed us from the desperate search for meaning. Trust me, believers will not stand before the cross of Christ and ask, what's the meaning of this? No, the meaning is clear. Sins are forgiven. God loves his own. God means it, and the cross proves it. There's power, the power of God's hand. God frees us by his hand to enjoy the blessing of both of our hands. And that means we can enjoy this life. We can enjoy all the things that have piled up in our garages, not because we find in them the meaning of life, No. We enjoy those things because we know they are rich blessings that come from the hand of the Creator of life, the Redeemer of life, the Sanctifier of life, our gracious Savior, Jesus Christ. Ever had one of those teachers in school who walked into a classroom with a bunch of mischievous students and bellows out, "What's the meaning of all of this?" I guess I was lucky to have a few of those classes. But you know, sometimes we wonder the same thing and we get frustrated with ourselves. We get frustrated with the world around us, and sometimes we even get frustrated with God. And still, God comes and reveals the grace that flows from His hand. Can we just take a moment to look at the cross of Jesus and beyond the sun into the heavens where our resurrected Christ is now seated? That's where our Savior comes and opens His hands. There we see the nail marks, those wounds of love, which our Savior gladly endured. And suddenly, it all makes sense. May God bless us with that wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.